Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, your host of Over the Top Rope on the Wind Column Sports Network. Don't forget, you can head to windcolumnsports.ca for all of your previews, reviews, and breaking news from the world of wrestling, be it your major promotions or from the great province of Alberta, Canada.
Awesome!
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
If you like podcasts, and you are listening to our Backbreaker Media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish.
And myself, Manoy.
And the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like. Because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
That's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawany doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word, because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh, but I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of a cute, supposed to be a circle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm trying.
If you don't want to listen to us, then no! You're stupid, because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah,
later,
reset.
Later, bitches!
The opinions expressed by Mr. Steven Styles on this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of host Kyle Shaw, Backbreaker Media, their affiliates, and their sponsors. Backbreaker Media will not be held accountable for validity of any comments or opinions, and listener discretion is advised.
Guys, this is Kyle Shaw, your friendly neighborhood ring announcer, and you're listening to Monday Night Shaw on the Backbreaker Media Network. Once again, I want to thank Mike the Ref and Backbreaker Media Network for hosting the podcast and providing the recording equipment. My guest this week is Steven Styles, Squiggy. Definitely gave me a ton of opportunities. Basically, needed a ring announcer one day, knew that I wanted to try it out because I'd been doing sound at shows in Springbrook, and once in a while would be asked to come help in Edmonton or whatnot. And I would always show up and help and put up the ring and whatnot, and, you know, I would put up posters around the town and stuff. So, Squig knew that I wanted to ring announce, and one day he needed an announcer in Calgary, and I got a text message that said, like, oh, hey, can you ring announce for me in Calgary, like, on the weekend or whatever? And I was like, well, I've never done it, but I would like to, so yeah, sure, you know? So yeah, like, I owe a lot of my whole basic career to Squig, so yeah, and now I'm in Edmonton, and that's thanks to him as well. So yeah, I know he's a huge influence on my career, and a huge influence on my involvement in professional wrestling. So I want to thank him for coming on the show. I'm not going to waste your time with a bunch of plugs for upcoming shows and stuff, because we cover all that during the podcast, and I don't feel like doubling down on it. I do want to say happy birthday to Andrew Hawks, whose birthday it was on Saturday. Happy birthday, Hawks. And, happy birthday to Ref Dougie, too, who had his birthday at the last show. Squig, who I'm talking to on the podcast today, his birthday was the night he got bloodied up by Kevin Sullivan. So, he was almost born and died on the same day. That bit of wacky, hey? Anyway, enjoy the podcast, and thanks for listening once again to Backbreaker Media Network and to Monday Night Shaw. Enjoy the show. All right, how's it going, folks? This is Kyle Shaw, your friendly neighborhood ring announcer from RCW. And this week on Monday Night Shaw, joining me at this time is Squig, a.k.a. Steven Styles, the owner of Real Canadian Wrestling. Steven, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you, Kyle?
I'm doing good, pretty good, bud. Pretty good, pretty good. So, the last time we saw you, you were wearing a creepy mask, and you came out, and you decided to beat the tar out of Blue Tato. And then your boy Cujo gave him the big old splash. So what's going on there?
Oh, it's just you tried being in with Kevin Sullivan and almost bleeding to death. It's a new direction. There's going to be big surprises coming in the coming new year for the angle, the direction, the gimmick. It's something new to try, and just going to get crazier and crazier as we go. And well, Plutano was a little bitch, not gonna lie.
I actually heard on a podcast a review of the show that his wrestling name is Ely. I didn't even know that. I just assumed his wrestling name was Plutano, so I announced him as Plutano.
You can now bill him as Pancake after Cujo splashed him. Because they had to, like, scrape him up off the mat.
Yeah, the poor guy. Oh. I mean, didn't he come back from, like, a serious, like, back injury?
It's the first time we saw him in over 2 years from last time he was here. Blazing Dicks beat the holy hell out of him and made his chest look like hamburger meat. So it's the first time you saw him, and honestly, I haven't seen Plutano or Ely or Pancake, whatever you call him, in 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, speaking of the new year, RCW is going to be doubling our dates. We're going to be doing 2 shows in Edmonton and 2 shows in Calgary every month.
Yeah, that's it's a big step for us, but like I said, the fans in Edmonton have been coming out and filling the venue every month for the last 4 months now, and same in Calgary. Calgary is filling up every month, so if the fans want it, we'll give them more and more and more until, you know, they get their fill of wrestling in Calgary and Edmonton.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to make RCW the most active federation in Alberta.
Well, yeah, it's going to be one of the most active, but again, we're not here to compete with companies like Prairie Wrestling Alliance or Monster Pro or Pure Power down in Calgary. Those are all 3 great promotions, and I encourage fans to support them as well. we're just taking a step to try and give the fans more wrestling and fill their wrestling intake.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not trying to bait you into burying the other promotions. That's not what I'm about here. I'm just saying that us going with double the amount of dates of anyone else, is that's a big step, and it's like a make-or-break move. You know, it's like when Vince McMahon did WrestleMania. Like, it's a huge risk.
Oh, we've got our city's got a good crew of guys, you know, yourself, you know, Angelo Hawks, Heavy Metal, Zach Mercury, you know, the list goes on, and they all bust their ass to get the shows out there, get the fans knowing about the product, and as long as everybody stays on the same team, two shows a month in each city is just going to be like running one, just more exciting for the fans.
Oh, yeah, I don't think anybody on the RCW roster is not up for it.
No, like I said, we've got a great crew of guys, probably one of the best rosters in Alberta, except for, you know, missing one or two pieces, but who knows what 2019 holds? Those pieces could show up for us.
Yeah, one of those pieces may have been called out at the last show by Andrew Hawks.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking. Hawks didn't even let the office know. He just went out there and kind of put a playing card out of his back pocket, so caused a lot of heat and...
Oh, was that an issue like the following day?
Well, yeah, it's when you don't let the promoter know what's going on, and the guy works for another company, it's kind of, you know, a heat seeking missile. But that's always been Andrew Hawks from day one. You know, he's always out for, you know, what's best for business and what gets himself over.
Yeah, I imagine you're the one that catches the heat. I don't suspect that Andrew Hawks got any phone calls about that.
Oh, no, no. Andrew Hawks took the brunt of the heat. So I'll give him that. He was a man and took the heat because he knows that what he did, he didn't give the office permission. He didn't tell the office what he was doing. So, and no, Hawks took the full brunt of it. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm interested to see what comes out of this because... From what I understand, there's actually a lot of personal heat between Slammer and Andrew Hawks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, shoot heat. I don't know what's going on there. As far as I knew, they were best friends.
Yeah, that was kind of my understanding, was that Hawks wanted, like, you know, bitter friends, better enemies type thing or whatever. Like, sometimes your best competition is your best friends, you know?
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, but... Before I've been here, there's actually legitimate heat between the two of them, so...
Well,
who knows?
I mean, they're such characters, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, yeah, and then you throw in Vince Austin in the mix, and... For in my opinion, it's the lunatics running the asylum if this gets going right.
Yeah, it could be pretty nuts. So, yeah. Like I say, like, 2019, like you say, we're going double the dates, and you're the promoter of the Federation...
Yes.
And I just, like, a lot of people would think, oh, maybe that's, like, a really cool job, but to me, it just seems like all the promoters I know, like, it seems like it's really overwhelming, and there's so much to keep track of.
It's beyond overwhelming, like, but again, like, myself and Kurt, for instance, we do it for the fans. We're not, you know, our business day doesn't end at 5. We're, from morning to midnight, we're lining up talent, towns, venues, making sure insurance is in place, making sure dates are set, tickets are printed, the wrestlers know where they're going to be, who they're working, and being a promoter, you wear a lot of different hats, but, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. It's one of the best experiences I've had for the last 16 years.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, is that, like, I have to commend you for, you know, I mean... There's been ups and downs, I'm sure, in RCW. Even in the time I've been there, there's been a few times where, you know, there's been some pretty light crowds. But other times, like, you know, we've been filling that St. John's Hall, like, for the last who knows how many months.
It's been 4 months, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, and it's getting crazy. So I'm just saying, like, I have to commend you. Like, you've kept it going for 16 years. I mean... I'm sure a lot of the credit also goes to Vic and your mom.
Yeah, it's, you know, RCW started in 2003, and it was a family-run company, and it was, you know, my mom passed away in 2010, and since then, it just, me and my dad just kept it going, you know, with my kids, you know, Matthew and Jasmine, they're big supports, my partner in Calgary, Ian, he's, you know, he's a strong push between the, behind the company. So I've had a lot of support to keep it going. And again, like my dad, Vic, he's the lifeline of RCW. You know, he's first one there at the ring, last one gone at the ring, sets it up, tears it down, pulls it.
Yeah, 100%. If your dad wasn't a part of the show, like, if your dad had to call in sick, it would be a bad news day for RCW, like...
Well, that'd be a rough day for you, Kyle, because you'd have to take the, you'd take the load.
That's probably what would have to happen, and that would be a real rough day, because I would... I'm not... I've never driven with a trailer, nor have I ever driven an RV, so...
Well, it's time to learn there, Kyle.
Yeah. But yeah, no, your dad, 100%, like, if it wasn't for him, I don't think any of this would be going on whatsoever. You know, it's... He's dedicated, and it's awesome, too, because I can't tell you how many times I've gotten in the RV and been like, oh, how you doing, Vic? And then just, boom, this is the last bloody time we're doing this. I'm not doing any more shows like this, you know. But then the next month rolls around, and there he is to pick me up once more.
Yeah, he gets...
He loves it. As much as he hates it, he loves it.
Vic gets very angry, but honestly, it's what keeps him going, you know. It's, like, again, the company started with my mom and my dad, and, you know, when my mom passed away, I gave my dad the choice, you know, shut her down or keep going, and he wanted to keep going because it was a memory of my mom, so... There's times where, you know, he's a 78-year-old Ukrainian who has the same temper as I do, you know. But honestly, I don't think he'll ever want to pull the plug. And times are rough at times, and times are great at times. It all just depends on the month and the fans.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think your dad lives vicariously through you a lot of the times, too.
Oh, he's also gotten, you know... He grew up in wrestling as well, you know, not as a wrestler or part of the business, but he was going to wrestling back when he was like 10, 11 years old when, you know, there's Luther Lindsay, George Gordianko, Gorgeous George, Stu Hart was still wrestling, you know, so he's been around a long time, you know, he knows all the Harts, he's close friends with Ross, Bruce, Bob Johnson.
So how did he become friends with those guys? Was that after you became a promoter, or was
no,
this...
No, it's... I've known the Harts since I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
My dad and my mom were very close friends with the old Stampede road agent, Bob Johnson.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know Bob.
From
like,
there,
not
just,
well, but I've met him a few times.
I remember Bob used to stay at our place after Edmonton shows, and my mom would make him homemade pizza.
This
you
is
know,
the same Bob Johnson that was the announcer for Stampede, right?
Yeah.
Good
old Bob Johnson. You know, and it just, from there, it just grew into me loving the business, me getting into the business, and again, you know, it's... I have a lot to thank, you know, to Bob Johnson, you know, Ross Hart. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize it's Kurt Sorokin's another big person to help get me in the business. You know, he taught me the promoting side of the business when I was just breaking in, you know. So, like, I owe a lot to Kurt Sorokin as well. You know, we have our differences at times, but at the end of the day, Kurt is one of my closest friends in the business.
100%. Personally, I don't think I've ever even really had a conversation with him. I think I might have met him at the door at a PWA show, like, one time.
You don't know what you're missing. Kurt's a very intelligent man when it comes to wrestling and the business, so... You know, and I'm not just blowing smoke to get over with him. It's... Kurt doesn't get enough credit for the stuff he's done over the years.
Yeah, fair enough. I know PWA has a big show coming up night after our next show.
And Edmonton, yeah.
Isn't it Duke Durango's last match in Edmonton?
Yeah, that's actually one show I want to attend 100% because, again, Duke Durango's 25 years in this business.
Well, we wanted to go to the one in Calgary, the last match of the one in Calgary, but it snowed real bad that day and we didn't want to, you know...
Yeah, but, like, the show here in Edmonton, you know, Duke Durango and Chris Steele against MRB and BVD, you know, that tag match alone could... That could be on a bill anywhere in Western Canada or North America.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely at times seen all four of those guys grace the RCW rings.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not in Calgary or Edmonton, but I know I've seen all four of those fellas in Springbrook.
Yeah, and BVD and MRB are two of the most well-known unsigned talents next to Andrew Hawks, Bobby Sharp. You know, and those are all talents that have been in RCW. You know, Bobby Sharp, former RCW Canadian champ. You know, Andrew Hawks has held every belt in RCW.
Oh, really?
So, you know, he's probably one of the only Triple Crown champions along with Slammer. So, again, like, Alberta's a hotbed for professional wrestling right now. It's, you know, it's early on, so I think it's the hottest it's been in a long time.
It's definitely a thriving scene, I suspect. I mean, you even got, like, CWC going on in Red Deer. You know, like, it's...
CWC is a good promotion for what they're doing in Red Deer. You know, they've got their own little market there. They've really made Red Deer their town. You know, they got some really strong talent there. Like, for instance, our current junior weight champ, Pride. Envy's there, Dylan Stone, who... He has developed into being a really good all-around wrestler, Dylan Stone. And there's a couple other ones there, like Dean Richter's there.
Yeah, Dylan Stone, he wrestled on our last show in Edmonton. Or not the last one in Edmonton, the one
with... The October one.
Yeah, the one with the Battle Royal on it, the Bone Crusher Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Also, Cherry Doll wrestles for them.
Yeah, she's got a bright future ahead of her. She's still new in the business, though. She's only not even a year in yet.
I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as lady wrestlers in Alberta, like, she's got to be a contender for the RCW Women's Championship.
Yeah, like I said, currently held right now by Envy. Another, you know, I give her another year or two and she's going to be a breakout star, is Envy and Angelica. You know, Kaya March, another one. Once she gets her feet under her, she's going to be great in the ring to watch.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so let's just take it back there. You said that you grew up and you knew the Harts and whatnot, and I imagine your dad was taking you to, like, lots of Stampede shows. Like, at what point did you decide you wanted to be a wrestler or a promoter?
I've always loved it. And then when Stampede came back in 97, Bob and Ross asked me to sell merchandise. And then I would go on the road, sell merchandise with Kurt, because Kurt was the Stampede promoter for the road shows. And one of the guys got hurt, and I ended up getting thrown in as a referee. I didn't know anything about refereeing.
Okay.
Scared to death. But luckily, the first match I ever got to ref was Red Thunder and Bill Yates.
Oh, okay.
And actually, Bill Yates is the one I give credit to for the Squeaky Magoo gimmick. And ever since then, it just... I got a crash course in wrestling, being on the road with guys like Bill Yates, Red Thunder, Ruffy Silverstein, Highlander, Tiger Khan, the legendary Cube Assassin, Hercules Ayala. So I was taught wrestling on the road by these guys.
Okay.
You know, so.
So like, you didn't go to any, like, official camp or anything?
No,
like that.
I trained a bit with Tex Gaines and Bill Yates. Again, Tex Gaines is another underrated person. A lot of people think Tex Gaines, Ivan Thompson is a pain in the ass, but Ivan's probably one of the most sound guys out there, and he's trained on some of the best, like Marky Mark.
Oh, wow.
Phoenix Taylor. Michael Avery. You know, he's had his hand in training Colton Kelly.
Oh, wow.
You know, so...
I think he's training some folks up in Grand Prairie.
Actually, Tex is moving back to Edmonton now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know Bill Yates apparently was training some boys up there because he wrestled on the Grand Prairie card that we did with the CWE.
Yeah, I don't get a chance to talk to Bill Yates much, but again, you know, he's another good guy in the business. Just everybody's got their issues, everybody's got their demons, and, well, Billy's Billy, you know.
I hear you. You know, like, it's one of the things that I've definitely noticed more when I moved to Edmonton was that the little, like, political, like, affiliations that people formulate and stuff. And, you know, I try not to just, like, take any kind of sides, you know?
Honestly, wrestling is a very political game, but you know what? It's
got to be hard on you, because you've got to have it coming down the worst, because you've got everybody coming at you with their ideas. Like, you got Merck and Metal and Andrew Hawks. You know, you got Vince Austin. Everybody's got to be, like, just encouraging you on these ideas, and then...
Everybody's got their 2 cents to put in, you know, and they all have great minds. Don't get me wrong, they always have great minds. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, I'm the promoter, I'm the booker. I have the final say. But I believe everybody should have their input and have their say. Because there are many times me and Andrew Hawks have butted heads about stuff. And 9 times out of 10, it's we communicate and we agree on something where maybe his idea was better this time or my idea was better. But I don't believe in pigeonholing somebody into just being a worker. Because you do that and then it's... They don't stay happy along in the company, you know.
Well, I mean that's one of the things I've come to enjoy about working for RCW, just as the ring announcer, is the moments where you can just, okay, let's improvise something and do something, you know.
Well, exactly. It's
it's fun, you know.
Like, there's a lot of times where, like, the old saying is, you can get the fans going, but can you pop the boys?
Yeah,
and like, that's the thing. It's like. Heavy metal, for instance, everybody for a while thought heavy metal was the biggest piece of shit in the business. Heavy metal, honestly, Justin is one of my good friends. But yeah, we had our falling out, but now it's... We're good friends, but we still have our times where we disagree on things. But
yeah,
again,
of course.
In the last 5 years, heavy metal has become, again, one of my closest friends. And, you know, he's been a strong supporter of RCW. He's went out above and beyond. But so is guys like Andrew Hawks and Zach Mercury, and the list goes on and on, you know. One guy who doesn't get enough credit is Sweet Daddy Soul, Jeremy Joseph. That kid is going to be a breakout in 5 years.
Oh, he works so hard. And
you know,
and
he just finished up the Lance Storm Academy again.
Like, this is what I'm saying, is he's already come to our federation, like, what, was it a year ago, maybe?
Not oh, he's been around at least more than that, been around 2 years.
Oh, no, he hasn't been with RCW for 2 years?
Yeah, he was around before you were around.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He originally was trained with AJ Sanchez.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, like, he's been on the roster as a fully trained guy for a long time. And then just to spruce it up and get better, he decided to go to Lance. Like
again, like, he doesn't get enough credit. Like, honestly, Jeremy spends a lot of hard work and time behind the scenes as well, you know. Like, he's the guy that handles all the talent. They come in, you know, pick them up at the airport, make sure they get food when they get in, hotel, drives them to towns, drives them back to the hotel, you know, drives them back to the airport.
And he's such a positive and friendly fella, too. Like
again, know. If I had to pick one person that is my best friend in RCW, it'd be Jeremy Joseph.
Well, he's the kind of guy that, you know, you walk up for the obligatory wrestling handshake and he just reaches over and gives you a big old hug, you know?
I think he's just like hugging men. That's all I think.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's the way it is with him, so, you know?
You know, and that's the thing. It's a lot of guys in RCW are, well, we're a family, but it's also a team, you know? It's
definitely, yeah. It is very family-esque. It's dysfunctional family. It's at points, but at most of the time, everybody's got everybody's back, and it's one of those things where, you know, maybe you'll make fun of somebody, but you know, I'll make fun of my little brother, but don't you make fun of my little brother?
Exactly. You know, like, if there's 1 month I can go by where someone's not mad at someone else in the locker room, and then it wouldn't be an RCW show. There has to be one show, or one person out of every show has to be mad at somebody or have a disagreement. The way I look at it is, it's best for business.
Yeah.
Reality is everywhere now. Reality TV is the hottest thing right now in, you know, the universe right now is reality TV. WWE is the same way. They were doing it for a while. Now they've gone back to popcorn playoffs wrestling. Like, oh, Becky Lynch is not this person, blah, blah, blah. You know, you got to sometimes blur the line between reality and, you know, wrestling. You know, but then also, you have to also think of it as professional wrestling is an art. It's sports entertainment. You know, and the best way to put it is fans pay the $20 to come see us wrestle, to come and get us entertained. By the end of the day, we're just like them. We still go home to our wives, our kids, our girlfriends, our puppies, our Nintendos, whatever it is. So it's, again, like, RCW is more, we're not going to push the envelope. We say we're family entertainment, but we're the family entertainment that, you know, you're not scared to take your kids to, but you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, like, I often equate it to, like, when I was a child, you know, my folks, they would be like, oh, you want to go watch The Terminator, or... You want to watch RoboCop 2, like all these R-rated movies, which, you know, clearly a 10-year-old child or, you know, even 8, 9 years old, whatever, shouldn't be watching these films. But my parents are like, it's entertainment, just watch it, whatever. It's fun. And so you grow to appreciate that sort of stuff and you grow up and, you know, I'm not a completely dysfunctional human being.
Oh, no, like, and honestly, like, professional wrestling, and especially Alberta wrestling, it's grassroots.
Well, that's part of Alberta wrestling is, like, if you take it back to the Stampede days, is, yeah, it's a little bit of a, there's a little bit of a rough and tussle, like, down in the mud, the blood and the beer type thing, you know?
It's not even that, like, I grew up every Saturday night for 20 years, always Northlands Entercom with my dad, Stampede Wrestling. Didn't matter if it was a blizzard, a snowstorm, a tornado. We were at Stampede Wrestling. That was our Saturday night ritual. And that's the wrestling that I want to bring back to Alberta, where dads can bring their kids, grandfathers can bring their grandsons. You know, it's not uncool to hang out with your parents, you know?
No, yeah. And at the same time, like, I'm not trying to say, like, RCW is, like, an R-rated product. It's not necessarily. But
to a point, we are R-rated, though.
I'm just saying, like, it's one of those products where you can bring your kids, but just be aware that your kids might see some blood and they might hear a few four-letter words.
Well, that's exactly it. And, like, honestly, nowadays, everybody is so, I guess best way to put it is, everybody's so scared to open their front door and see what's out there. In RCW, we don't have the whole, oh no, we can't say this, we can't say that. It's, if it's in the general public, if it's in everyday life, then it's not off limits.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe in going out there and having an angle where there's rape or murder or...
No.
Child's being sexually assaulted. But you know what?
No.
If Andrew Hawks and Vince Austin are two long beard pissed off Vikings from Newfoundland that want to come in and put Onslaught through a door or 5 doors or 10 doors, that's a part of wrestling. It's story. It's enthusiasm. You know, like Epic Eddie Rude. What is Epic Eddie Rude? Is he Rick Rude? Is he Ric Flair? Is he a bull rider? No one knows. But every morning I turn on my phone and I get a text message from Eddie Rude, and I'm scared to see it most days.
Yeah, I get the same ones.
But again, I think Eddie Rude's a performer.
I believe I read on Facebook that he's retired from sending out the...
Oh, I still get the odd one. But
oh, okay.
Again, Eddie Rude, you know,
it's one of those wrestling retirements, hey?
Yeah, he's Terry Funk of RCW this month. But like I said, it's the best way to sum it up with RCW is, You're not coming just for a wrestling show. You're going to come get entertained.
Yeah.
Because if every fan in that crowd doesn't go home hating one guy, loving one guy, blown away by one match, or criticizes one match, then we didn't do our job. Because if everything's always bang on, they get stagnant and boring.
It's a variety show.
Exactly. Like,
it's not all heavyweight matches. It's not all hardcore matches. It's not all technical matches or cruiserweight matches.
For instance, last show in Edmonton here, Son of Irish versus Heavy Metal.
Oh, that kid's fantastic.
Everybody said it was going to be a mismatch. Just Heavy Metal's going to squash him. On my opinion, and from a lot of other people agree, that was match of the night.
Yeah, that was the general consensus.
You know, so... Again, like, that's the thing is... RCW is built on... You never know what to expect. You never know what's going to happen. But you're going to pay that $20, and you're going to see the car crash.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's the way I've always built RCW up is other companies, you know, say professional wrestling the way it's supposed to be. Or we're the premier company.
Yeah.
Okay, WWE has went from drawing 60,000 people on shows to 18,000 house shows to lucky if they get 2,000 people. But right now indie wrestling is so hot. Like I can't turn on any social media outlet without hearing about the Young Bucks, Rich Swann, Kenny Omega, you know, Shane Strickland, Jeff Cobb. But I hardly hear about Brock Lesnar anymore or John Cena. Yeah. And that's because wrestling fans are used to car crashes. We need to get wrestling back to being where it's good versus evil. Like, when I was growing up in Stampede Wrestling, the biggest rivalry was the Hearts versus Karachi Vice. I remember when Muckett singing Glama burnt Owen Hart's eye, God rest his soul, but fought his angle for 6 weeks. Finally, at the end, you know, Owen came back with the band-aid off the eye. Boom, beat Muckett Singh, won the North American title. Place went crazy. It was packed to the rafters, sold out. Because the fans believe that. But now, if you go out there and you just put wrestler A versus wrestler B, C versus D, E, and so on, sure, the fans would come out paying $20.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're like, well, that was a great match. That was a 5-star match. But what makes them want to come back in 2 weeks' time or in a month's time to see that same product again? So the art of professional wrestling is lost. And I blame it on a lot of indie darlings, as you want to call them. Like, I'm going to use, for example, go off topic, Andrew Hawks. I watched Andrew Hawks at MRB have one of the best matches I've ever watched in Alberta wrestling. It was on a Calgary show in PWA. I was there watching it. One of the best matches ever.
Okay.
Because they went out there and they knew how to bring the crowd up, bring the crowd down, bring the crowd up, bring the crowd down. And they told a story. Now it's... I'm going to use like, for instance, everybody says Teddy Hart, best pure wrestler in the world. Best untapped talent. He's also the best storyteller out there.
Teddy Hart?
Teddy Hart.
Oh, I've heard the rap on Teddy Hart is that he's fucking nuts.
Oh, Teddy Hart's fucking... He's not... Teddy Hart's not fucking nuts. Teddy Hart's intelligent.
Oh, okay.
Teddy Hart legitimately so
he's
probably...
like walking that fine line of genius and insanity, but...
Teddy Hart is a new age Brian Pillman.
Okay.
New age Brian. Do you remember Brian Pillman in WCW where it's that...
Yeah, just what you want, Booker Man or the workers or whatever.
Exactly. Ted is like that. Ted is a genius. He's the mad genius of the new generation.
Okay.
You know, like Ted Hart, he does the most amazing stuff in the world. But like, I've known, I was close with Teddy for many years. And Teddy said, he goes, I've had WWE contracts. I've had Mexico contracts. I fucked them all up. Pardon my language. But why do you think he did that? Most people still want to watch Ted Hart wrestle.
Yeah.
Because they never know what he's going to do. By the end of the day, Ted's the same guy. Takes his shoes off the same way, his pants off the same way. But Ted sells tickets. But how many times can you see that show to finally you're like, I've seen enough of it. So like I said, Kyle, it's wrestling is on an uphill swing right now. But it's on an uphill swing because all the boys are going out there and working together and building it again. So Alberta wrestling is in the same way. But the best way to sum it up with that is the people that are here, the promoters are already here, we got to politic and we got to police the business. And I'm sure you know where this is going.
I think I might know where it's going. It's, I mean, we just had the rant about Ted Hart.
Okay, but again, I know Ted Hart's a whole different subject. I love Teddy, and I'll go on the record and say Ted Hart is one of the best unsigned talents in the world, next to Harry Smith.
Yeah.
Again, two Alberta boys are two of the best talents in the world. Right now, honestly, I think pound for pound, the best wrestler in the world is Harry Smith.
Oh, he's crazy. I remember when he wrestled Scott Justice in Calgary. And he would, like, hit him, and I'd be like, oh, that looked like ow. Like, really, like, nasty. Just, like, it doesn't have to be that rough, bud.
But that's Harry.
Yeah, but can no, you, it was awesome, too.
You imagine being 6'10", almost 260 pounds.
I was like, there's nobody in RCW that could legit beat this guy in fight. No
way. Oh, there's no one in professional wrestling that could legit beat that guy. My dream match, honestly, my dream wrestling match is Harry Smith versus Brock Lesnar.
It's yeah, that's what I think would be a great match.
Like, if they actually went out there and just let them work, it'll blow your mind.
I think it would be amazing.
Like, Brock Lesnar is... He can work, but... Like, the old saying is, why work smart, not hard? Why bust your ass if you're still getting the same envelope at the end of the night?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so, but... I don't know, like, I think the best thing with Alberta wrestling right now is we've got so many great talents. There's already, like, numerous great promotions.
Okay.
Again, like, Prairie Wrestling Alliance, Monster Pro, Pure Power, and Lethbridge, you know, RCW. Edmonton alone has three promotions. So the fans have so much wrestling to choose from.
Yeah.
So it's an open market right now.
What were you getting at before?
If you really want me to go off on things, I'm going to talk about Heart Legacy Wrestling.
Okie dokie. Now, I don't know much about the situation with Heart Legacy Wrestling. I've heard rumors that they were associated in some way with the Canuck Pro, which apparently advertised a bunch of shows and then never did them. Which, by the way, King of Glory, that was a bum move. I was looking forward to calling that show this weekend, but... Or, well, once this episode airs, it will have been this past weekend. But, yeah, Heavy Metal even posted pictures of conversations like what he had with, like, Hernandez and Jimmy Rave. And yeah. They're like, yeah, no, this guy, he never even contacted us about flights or paid the deposits. So, yeah, like, just don't advertise shows and then not do them. That's just going to make the whole business look like shit.
But that's the thing, though. It's again.
I don't know if that's the what Heart Legacy was doing, or if that's why there's heat on them or not. I mean,
Heart Legacy, when it first started, was going to be the next big thing. Ted was involved. They had investors. They had everything. They sold out the Victoria Pavilion, the first company to do that since 1999.
Oh wow!
They made money. No one got paid.
Oh really?
They brought in Kevin Nash, Chris Masters, Bobby Lashley, Lance Storm, John Hennigan, Johnny Devine, the list goes on and on and on. Sure, over time, guys got paid, but, you know, hotels were burnt.
Oh, no.
Fucking sponsors were looked after. So the first show went off. They did a second show. Boom. Same thing all over again.
You it's know, they... Just, like, poor behind-the-scenes business practices.
Let's put it this way, that... The second show under a different name again, which is, again, Stacey Angel, which isn't even a real name. Her name is whatever. I just call her the Rat Stacey. Anyways, they ran their show under a new name. That show drew maybe 500 people. Lost 90 grand.
Oh my God.
Why? Because they brought in the Young Bucks. Harry Smith, Lance Hoyt, Bobby Lashley, Chris Masters, Kevin Nash, Conan.
For one show.
Teddy, Generico was there.
In front of 500 fucking people.
Exactly.
Oh, was that? Was, were these people paying $500 a fucking ticket?
Like, no, no, they were only 20 and 20 and 50. Back? So, because, well, the Grand John of Rome, it was all there. They had sponsors again.
Oh.
Show again, some guys didn't get paid again. So after those, you know, they got, Stacy got caught on and everything. Yeah. Everything went going there. They disappeared. Then last year they came back. Yeah. They're going to do it every Friday night at a bar in Calgary. Again, God rest his soul, Smith Hart.
Yeah.
I love that man. Smith was a great guy. He was the power behind Heart Legacy when they came back. Yeah. Him and Matt and Zach Mercury. You know, and they were wrestling in front of, like, I think their biggest bar show they drew was like 14 people.
Yeah.
You know, and then,
oh, really?
You know, then they ran this...
people?
Yeah.
In Calgary?
And then they ran this big, huge Stampede show at Ranchman's. You know, they're going to pack Ranchman's. I heard... now, this is again the second rate. I heard they had, maybe if they're lucky, 50 people there. Had a big tent show that fits 3,000 people in a tent. They bring in Chris Masters. Doesn't draw. Stacey Angel, you know, the brains behind Heart Legacy... Fakes a heart attack, but takes the cash box.
Oh, God.
You know, so...
Jesus.
I'm not... You know, what I was told was Chris Masters refused to go out till he got paid, so the boys had to come together and find it and pay Chris Masters.
Oh, really?
You know, so that was fine with that, and then...
That's super sketch.
Exactly. So then that was the last time they disappeared, you know. But now I hear they're back with...
Yeah.
Another new figurehead, Steve Gillespie, is the new promoter of Heart Legacy Wrestling.
Okay.
Steve Gillespie...
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
...is probably one of the biggest pieces of garbage you ever meet.
Okay.
Back when I first broke in this business and I wanted to start my own company, he came to me with an idea. I listened to it and all this. So I started doing the groundwork for it. And about 2 months later, he shows up at my door, threatening me and my parents. saying we owe him 10 grand because I used his name on this and this and this. So that got him nowhere because, well, that got dealt with very easily. And then he's also the same guy that he ran Can-Am Wrestling for 8 years. Told everybody that Can-Am was making $1 million a year.
What?
So his story is Can-Am was making $1 million a year.
An indie wrestling federation in Alberta?
Yeah, and he also told, he was also telling the boys that WWE was scared of them. That's why they didn't want to run head-to-head with them. It's also the same guy that said that he taught TJ Wilson and Harry Smith the top rope powerbomb. Steve Gillespie is like 5 foot fuck all if that. Harry's a giant. TJ's 1 pound for pound was one of the best wrestlers.
Harry Smith is British Bulldog's son. Why is he gonna learn any wrestling moves from anyone than British Bulldog?
Yeah, well, Harry was taught by Bruce and Tokyo Joe and all that.
Oh, I'm sure he was, but I'm just saying he's not gonna be taught
but, you know, that's the thing is now they're coming back every 2 weeks at the Bonus Sportsplex.
I'm just imagining you trying to like bring Harry in the ring and be like, okay kid, let me teach you a hold, I'm the promoter.
Harry
would just turn around and fuck you
Harry
up.
Harry just laughs. Like when I up, I'm like, remember when I go to Harry when I say, like, remember when Gillespie taught you the top rope powerbomb? And Harry's like pretty much like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, so it's like, but they're coming back and you know they're bringing in
they're bringing
a lot of good guys like Laredo Kid.
Yeah.
You know, up and coming luchador from Mexico and Texas. They got Brian Pillman Jr. You know, the legacy alone of that name.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, like,
but they've done this before where they've ran shows and canceled shows and never refunded the money to the fans.
Yeah.
There was one show they ran, they canceled it. And out of the goodness, RCW gave those fans tickets to our show free of cost. To make it up.
Yeah.
What
about the Canuck Pro guys? What was going on?
That was Stacey Angel. And
that was her too.
Somebody else behind it. Like, it's the same pattern. They announce all these big shows and then, boom, they disappear.
I remember that one had a bunch of, like, Lucha Underground guys on it. And I think we did something similar because they all got fucked out of, like, $100.
Exactly. So we did a thing, you know, bring your ticket, get your ticket for $10.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Speaking of $10 tickets, December the 1st, in Edmonton?
Yep. $10 advance.
$10 for advance general admission seats?
Yep. Good way to change the subject there.
We could go on and on about Heart Legacy for the
next... Oh, and we should, because the fans need to know this.
Yeah.
Because, I'm seeing on Facebook and all these fans talking about how great it is. But I don't want to see it at the end of the day when these fans spend their hard-earned money just to get burned by Heart Legacy because of something... And the bad thing is every time they come back, Stacey Angel, who's the figurehead behind this whole company.
And it's sort of like, you're just sort of trying to put it in everybody's mind. Like,
no, I'm also trying
this is a fool me once situation.
No, I'm shooting straight.
Yeah.
Because, in Calgary by itself, PWA and RCW have busted the last 10 years in Calgary, building that city back up to try to make wrestling great again in Calgary. For shit like that to come into Calgary and wreck it.
Yeah.
You know, put a bad taste in their mouth. Because what...
And that's one of the things I was saying about you earlier, is that, like, how you've kept RCW going for 16 years. Like, I mean, this seems like these people are just, like, they like wrestling, but they just don't have the head on their shoulders to be able to keep it going for any longevity, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have
It's not that, Kyle. The best thing is Heart Legacy Wrestling. There's no hearts involved.
Oh, really?
Ted is the only heart involved.
Oh, I thought Ted and Harry were both involved.
No, Harry won't work for Stacey Angel.
Oh, okay.
Harry's washed his hands of that.
Oh, I could have swore something like advertised or something.
Oh, no, no,
maybe
no.
That's
no,
old
they'll
stuff.
They'll advertise him. They'll use his name to try and get people to pop for it.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, again, Ted's a mad genius.
Yeah.
Ted will work Heart Legacy. But when it fails, it's going to be Steve Gillespie holding the bag.
Yeah.
So like the time before that, it was Spencer Tapley holding the bag. Before that, it was another guy holding the bag. Again, the root of it all is Stacey Angel never lets her name be put on anything. Because when it fails, it's someone else holding the bag. So when this next set of shows, when all the boys don't get paid or they get stiffed or something goes wrong, they're not going to go to her. Because she'll probably fake another heart attack or somewhere and go sit at McDonald's down the street having a coffee. But all the boys would be at Gillespie. Which he deserves, because again, he's a piece of shit.
Okay.
No, like, that's a shoot, like, Kyle. Like, yeah. I'm hard about this, because...
Yeah. Well, I can
understand. I've built my company up. I'm sure we haven't always been the most greatest company, but we never quit. We never died away. We kept going, and working our way up.
Yeah.
From the grassroots, we started... Our first show ever had 20 people. We had shows where we had 8 people.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're getting shows where we had 150, 200, 300. Same way PBA started. But they all put hard work in to build up. And then people just walk in and cash the checks and go. Like with this new commission bylaw thing. Sure, great, there's no more commission. Guys can come in and work all they want. But then guys come in once every 2, 3, 4 months. Run a show, bring in a name, cash the check, take off. But then... If the fans get shit on or screwed over or not happy, the companies that are already here that are established have to be the ones that have to babyface it back up and work our asses off again to win those fans back.
So, like, if they come in and they kill the town for us, that's no good.
Well, it's not good for business.
I understand where you're coming from there, yeah.
You know, it's like, for instance, like, you know, then you get a lot of guys, you know, they, well, we want to work everywhere. Well, it's great to want to work everywhere, but... Most guys are agreeing now, you know, we're with one company, we're staying there. But the best way to sum it up is, what is McDonald's known for? The Big Mac. Can you go to Burger King and get a Big Mac?
No.
Can you go to McDonald's and get a Whopper?
No.
So why would you want to... So if you can get the same thing in every other place, what makes you special? Okay, if I put this instance. Say you use Andrew Hawks. If he's working for every company in Edmonton, as a promoter, how would you market Andrew Hawks?
I think it would be very difficult because you would have to cater to Hawks himself, because if Hawks wanted to be a babyface in, you know, Edmonton, he'd have to be a babyface in both companies.
But that's exactly wouldn't it, make but sense. What makes him so special?
Yeah, that's...
So why would fans want to pay $20 to see him work for us so they can go the next week down the street and pay $20 to see him work there?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man.
It's because you haven't done the promoting side of things.
Yeah, no, I definitely haven't.
Like, that's the whole thing. It's. I know you wanted this podcast to be more about RCW, about wrestling, but no, I'm going to give you the crash course in wrestling.
No, I appreciate it.
People, Alberta has the best wrestling fans in all of the world. All of North America and beyond. Alberta and Edmonton have the hottest wrestling fans along with Calgary. They're passionate.
100%. They're all good people, too.
But the thing is like, they're wrestling fans. They just want to be entertained. They just want to see the product. Which is great. But if everybody is doing the same thing, how long can they be entertained for?
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody loves variety. But how come Baskin-Robbins isn't around no more? They had 31 flavors. They went belly up. But Marble Slab is still around because they have their own niche.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, it's quality over quantity.
Exactly. So, best way to put it is, Edmonton has 3 promotions. That's great. Perfect balance. All the promoters coexist together. They'll step each other's toes. You know, although I do have a little bit of heat with Monster Pro, like with Massive Damage. He don't like me. Well, I love him, though. He's a great guy. Sean's an awesome guy. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, best way to sum it up with that is we all have our own market. We all have our own niche. Now, if you add another niche to that market or another flavor, it's just going to make it more harder. Sure, everybody's going to have to step it up and there's no such bad thing as competition. That's what killed WWE.
The fans only have so much money they can spend on wrestling tickets every month, right?
Well, that's exactly it. So, like, but Edmonton has over 1 million people in it.
Yeah.
There's only, there's 3 companies, and no companies are drawing 4, 5, 6, 7, 1,000 people.
No.
No one's doing that.
Nobody's, I mean, we're lucky if we get 1,000 people.
And a whole month of shows among all 3 companies.
Yeah.
So, you think of it that way. There's 1 million people. We're drawing 1% of Edmonton's population among 3 companies. A 4th company will come in and cut it down. Because honestly, there's a lot of untapped wrestling fans in Alberta, but they don't know indie wrestling.
Okay.
So that's the thing is, we gotta. The best way to put it is, each company has built their own fan base up. You know, some fans only come to us. Some fans only go to PW. Some fans only go to RCW. Some fans only go to two of us. Some fans go to three of us. But we always got to think of a way to make new fans. Find those new fans. Like I tell the boys, anybody can sell 5 tickets to friends and family. Try and sell 5 tickets to people you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you can know with me where I've sat at a pub. The guy next to me, hey, do you like wrestling? Yeah, I love it. Oh, we're here at this tape. Would you like to buy a ticket? Oh, you know, I'm like, I tell you what. Here's a poster, let me know. Here's my phone number.
Yeah, I've been thinking I should take some tickets to work with me, because half the time I'll, like, if I've got a spare minute, I'll ask people, hey, do you like wrestling? And some people are like, yeah. And then I'm like, you should come check out our show. But, I mean, if I had tickets there, I could be like, do you want a ticket for $20, you know?
9 times out of 10, when you ask a fan if you like wrestling, oh, yeah, would you go to any shows here? Well, WWE hasn't been here in 3 years. Well, there's RCW.
I've had at least 2 people be like, oh, yeah, no, I like indie wrestling. Oh, yeah, you know this guy Squig? And they're like, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie, I'm a whore for this business. I will whore myself out anywhere I can to get my company known. I admit, I will push whatever I can.
Yeah.
I will sell a ticket to a blind guy with a seeing eye dog. He'll hear the show, but I'll make sure he knows what's going on with that show.
He'll know that you have good quality in it.
Exactly. Well, when he doesn't go into promos for himself, but yeah.
I'm going to promos for myself.
Oh, the last couple of shows, the boys just want to come out there and just strangle you.
Why?
Guys, we're like already running behind, and you go into this long, dry tab about, you know, the 50-50 or buying me a drink and all this.
Oh, those are just quick.
Oh, it's fine. It's entertaining.
Going
you know?
On for fucking 5 minutes or anything, you know.
There's been times you have, but you got to promote. Kyle Shaw, Monday Night Shaw on the Backbreaker Network.
Oh yeah, it's the Backbreaker Network, Backbreaker Media Network.
Well, you know, again, like then that's a go topic. Yeah. Mike Malawani. A lot of people would criticize. Oh, you know, he's just a wrestling mark. Mike's a very intelligent guy, and he bleeds wrestling in Alberta. We've had our differences in the past, but again, like him and Andre Cormo and Brian Hamilton, you know, Vicky and Mandy, Ronnie, they're what keeps Edmonton Wrestling going, because they'll support all products, everything. So yeah, I want to give them a shout out, because they're a great group of fans. Again, Edmonton has the best wrestling fans.
Yeah, 100%. Once again, thank you to Mike the Ref for supplying the equipment and hosting the show on the Backbreaker Media Network.
You know, this podcast has been all over the place, so...
Yeah, yeah.
What do you really want to talk about, Kyle?
Okay, well, let's get back to the beginning. Like, you said your first experience in the ring was as a clueless ref. Well, when did you have your first match?
February 23rd, 2003 in Sherwood Park against Bill Yates.
And was that for Stampede?
No, that was for an outlaw promotion called Saskatchewan Championship Wrestling.
And where was this show held?
In Sherwood Park. They came to Alberta trying to expand...
That's great. That's like that story that Marky told us about PWA when they were going to run Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, the Prairie Wrestling Alliance presents tonight in Hawaii. What? Yeah,
you should get Marky on your podcast and let him tell you some stories. That guy's got a lot of great stories. But no, anyway, my first match was against Bill Yates. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I'm not going to lie. I did not know what the fuck I was doing yet.
Yeah. Bill Yates, a vet, though, he probably was able to lead you through.
Oh, Bill Yates, it was probably the worst match Bill Yates ever had. The finish was a top rope suplex. And you can hear on the video saying, me screaming, no, Billy, no, Billy, no, Billy. And Billy's like, fuck you, you're going.
Didn't you tell me the other day that you took a top rope suplex from him once and that was the only top rope
exactly, suplex? The only time
and
I
ever took a suplex. And now I'm learning that this is the first match you ever had?
Yeah.
A fucking top rope suplex?
That was the finish.
Oh, my boy, that's crazy.
That, on that same show, was also the first time I ever got in the ring with Tex Gaines, and put me over as a battle royal. He let me eliminate him, and then Bill Yates eliminated me, and at the end of the show, PWA invaded, and they gave me a t-shirt. I still have that t-shirt, but never went nowhere else after that.
So you joined the PWA roster
for one night. One night. Nothing came of it after, but I know that was in 2000. Actually, no, that was 2002. Sorry, February 23rd, 2002. Because RCW started May 10th of 03. But yeah, it's like I said, it's been an uphill battle. I remember when I first started Edmonton, I had an Edmonton promoter. I'm not going to name names or nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Because I don't want him to feel like an idiot. But
we don't want we wouldn't want to get any heat for like shooting on anybody, like
yeah, because Steve Gillespie, I don't shoot on people. Or... Steve Gillespie is a piece of shit. But anyways, I know I had a promoter when I first started running Edmonton. It was our 8-year anniversary tour. The promoter's like, "You're going to run Edmonton. I'm going to put you out of business within 6 months.
Okay.
We're going to bury you." Well, that was 8 years ago. And now we're still here and we're still drowning. When I first started, I had Marky Mark say to me, "You ain't going to make it 3 months. Our city's going to be out of business within 3 months." 2 years ago, Marky Mark works for RCW.
Oh, wow.
Marky Mark said to me, "I'll never work for RCW."
Well, I'm glad he does. I like Marky.
Me and Marky never got along for years. Now, I've always liked Marky. Mark, in real life, is one of the most nicest, funniest guys in the world. Marky the wrestler, probably one of the most untapped talents out there. And he could have went further if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he was happy. Marky was happy, I'm telling those fans.
Yeah.
You know, and like same as Phoenix Taylor.
Familiar with that.
Phoenix Taylor could have been a big name in this business. But he jumped off a basketball net at a Nate gym in PWA, landed the wrong way, shattered his foot.
Oh no.
Actually, I have it on DVD, so I showed you one time. And again, like, in the last, going back thing, like, in the last 16 years, RCW has had a whole bunch of different guys. PWA's brought in all different guys. You know, and again, like, you know, no one thought RCW would make it past the first year.
Yeah.
Well, we did it. Oh, they're not going to make it past the second year. We did it. So on.
Yeah.
I've had guys who looked me dead in the eye and said, "Never gonna work for RCW. Never step foot in RCW ring."
Yeah.
Johnny Devine, for instance.
Okay.
He said, "I'll never work for RCW." Calgary show, walked to the ring, cut a promo, walked back, said, "Thanks for doing that, we're done." I did that, why? Because Johnny Devine said he'll never work for me. And I like Johnny Devine. Johnny Devine is one of the best talents as well.
So did he ever end up working for
RCW? Nope, cut a promo. But we never did business after that.
Oh, really?
Huh. I'm the only promotion in probably, actually, 40 years that ever had Bruce Hart work a match in their ring.
Oh, really?
Bruce Hart only ever worked for Stampede Wrestling in Alberta.
Oh, wow.
But he worked for me. He was in a 6-man tag with, it was Heavy Metal, Tommy Lee Curtis, and Bruce Hart versus Teddy Hart, Andrew Hawks, and Kid Cash.
That sounds pretty good.
Amazing. And Bruce, I remember when I was booking the show, Bruce was like, "Can't get over as a heel, kid. Won't get over. Just go there and be a heel." He shot on Teddy, the place fucking went nuts. Bruce is the original Mad Genius.
I met Bruce very, very briefly after one of our big RCW shows. I think that might have been the Jeff Jarrett show. Do you have anything to say about the Jeff Jarrett show?
I felt bad. I honestly, like, I was always a fan of Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to, like, put you on the spot. I'm just...
Oh, no, it's fine. Like, that was an incident that happened. You know, he was battling his demons. He... straight up, screwed up, you know? Yeah. He was drunk, had a bad alcohol. He showed up, he was intoxicated, made up some story about fake flights and all this. You know, but from now I hear he's sober, he just inducted the Hall of Fame, went through rehab. Excuse me. I wish him all the best.
Yeah.
You know, it's everybody battles demons.
100%. Everybody has their struggles.
You know, like, there's no hard feelings. I would do business with Jeff Jarrett again if I had a chance.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was probably one of the best guys in the business in the 90s and early 2000s. You know, but...
Speaking of guys that we're going to be doing business with soon, we've got the franchise Shane Douglas coming in January.
That is... Honestly, I've... From the very start of watching wrestling, I've always been a Shane Douglas fan. Even when I first started wrestling, I used to call myself the franchise Stephen Styles.
Yeah.
I was a heel, so everybody called me the French Fry, but... I've always loved Shane Douglas. I came out to his music. I idolize Shane Douglas from the time I started, even to now. He's still, in my mind, one of the most smartest men out there. He's pretty close to the same level as Kevin Sullivan.
Okay.
You know, and when I had a chance to do business with Shane Douglas, I jumped on it right away. And again, like, RCW is known for bringing in the most obscure out there talent.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what kind of thought you put into bringing some of these guys in. Like, I mean, there's been some oddball choices, like, Virgil comes to mind.
How can you not like Virgil, though?
I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm saying I love it.
Like,
I'm
just, you had
it's
a chance
such a weird choice. Like,
but when you had a chance to talk to Virgil, did you at least pop in that conversation?
I definitely did. I definitely was like, oh yeah, this guy's totally full of shit, but this conversation is very entertaining.
Virgil was a... Virgil, again, honestly, I'm not going to lie, was more of a to pop the boys type thing.
Yeah.
Because no one ever thought I'd bring him in. And it turned out we did good business. We didn't do the best business, but we did business. Did good business to a point with him.
Yeah.
Again, like, we've brought in... People couldn't understand, you know, why I brought in Ricky Reyes.
Ricky Reyes was a hell of a talent, and he Ricky had a Reyes lot of knowledge that, I mean, he did that seminar with a few of the boys, and he had a lot of good information to deposit.
Ricky Reyes isn't one of the most well-known names, but he's probably one of the most respected names.
Well, he's been around for so long.
You know, like, another person I brought in people don't understand is Jesse Neal.
Yeah, from what I hear, Jesse Neal has been one of the, like, guys who's been training fellas for RCW and stuff, too.
Jesse Neal is, I'd say, out of anybody, next to Jimmy Joseph, he's my next best friend in this business. Him and Curtis Cujo. But Jesse Neal was, again, he was brought in on a fluke because going back to King of Warrior, Rob Steele. Rob Steele booked Jesse Neal to do an appearance at a church. And if you ever met Jesse Neal is the most unreligious person you've ever met.
I have met Jesse Neal.
Like, he's the mohawk tattooed, swearing, fucking beer drinking redneck from Florida.
Yeah.
But they brought in Rob Steele booked Jesse Neal with this church thing. And I happened to have a show that same weekend. So he got a hold of me. He's like, hey, you know, would you be interested in Jesse Neal? I never heard of Jesse Neal until he told me about him.
Oh,
didn't
okay.
know who he was. Actually, my son Matthew was the one that found Jesse Neal video, showed me who he was.
Yeah, I kind of heard that Matthew's kind of like your RCW talent scout. Like,
oh, yeah.
You bring in these obscure indie guys.
You'll find me all these guys and...
Be careful, though, because he was getting me to watch a bunch of backyard stuff, so don't let him tell you to bring in the backyard guys.
No, we'll leave that to Heart Legacy. but no, like, with Jesse Neal, you know, Rob Steele, another real winner. He's on the same page as Steve Gillespie, who's a piece of shit.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't know Rob Steele. I only communicated with him the one time.
He's a fry cook at McDonald's. Put it that way.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw that he had that show booked with a bunch of RCW guys on it. So I was like, do you need an announcer? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, okay, cool.
But anyways, like, back to Jesse Neal's story. I agreed to use Jesse Neal on the show. So he gets here, and like the day of, he's like, hey, I'm stuck at work. Can't get away from work. Can you pick Jesse up from the airport? I'm like, okay, sure, whatever, you know, help you out. So me and my wife at the time, we go pick up Jesse up from the airport.
Was it just a situation where he didn't want to face the guy after we'll get to this.
So,
okay.
So we pick him up, I introduce myself, blah, blah, back and forth. So I call Rob Steele, I'm like, oh, where's Jesse Neal staying? He's like, oh, he's staying in my parents' basement. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, okay, where's your parents live? He's like, oh, he gives him the address. I'm like, you know, he's like, but don't tell Jesse. Don't worry. Tell me not to worry. There's a gym down there. It's safe. We can lock the door and I'll come sleep with him.
In the parents' basement?
Yeah. Okay. He's like, but don't worry. We'll lock the door and I'll come sleep with him so he's safe.
The fuck?
So, you know, Jesse Neorito is like, the fuck I got myself into? Me being a promoter, I'm like, I'll take care of him. You know, I'm like, no, I'll put him up at our sponsor hotel at the time, Yellowhead Inn. And so that's all fine. And then, like, the next day, we're getting ready for the show, and Rob Steele is nowhere to be found. His answer's phone, nothing. So we're getting up, we're getting the show set up and everything, and about 5 or 4 doors open, in walks Rob Steele to the venue. Jesse Neorito doesn't know who the hell this Rob Steele guy is.
Yeah.
So anyways...
Sorry about the thumping around.
Sorry about thumping, but anyway, so... That show, Jesse Neorito actually worked the late Billy Day Bone Crusher. And at the end of the show, Rob Steele's like, I know we had an agreement, but I can't pay Jesse Neorito.
Huh.
I'm like, well, you're kind of screwed then, because... Ain't my problem. I kept my end of the deal. He's like, well, the church canceled the appearance tomorrow. So I'm like, well, when's he fly out? Oh, I booked him to fly out in a week.
What?
So I a guy I've never met in my life, I had to hear for a week. And I had to entertain this guy for a week. And in that week, we became close, and he's been up here 3 or 4 times. He's been my champion. He's had 5-star matches with Chucky Blaze.
Well,
MRB.
Was on the first ever RCW show that I was at in Red Deer. And
he jumped
off
the balcony.
Off the balcony, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and there's been a couple times where he's supposed to get up here, but due to passport issues or custody battles with his daughter, he couldn't make it. But Jesse's going to be moving up here in the new year.
Oh, right on.
And
he'll definitely be an asset when we go double the dates.
Oh, he's going to be more than an asset. Jesse Neorito is... I say the only reason the WWE has never signed him is they already have John Cena.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, John Cena is a poor man's Jesse Neorito. Jesse Neorito is a true-life war hero. He's a Navy SEAL veteran. He's been to war.
Yeah.
He's been through... He was on the USS Cole that got exploded...
Oh, wow.
And he told me he carried his best friend off, dripping blood wrapped in an American flag off that ship.
Jesus.
One of the only survivors.
Damn.
Everything.
That's like
but
a
meanwhile,
comic book.
A guy who's never, ever even seen what war looks like runs around with a dog tag on his neck, saluting people.
Yeah.
Jesse Neorito
was in a movie once.
Jesse Neorito is the true John Cena.
I hear what you're saying.
But WWE doesn't need 2 John Cenas.
No.
Like, I would honestly, there's no... I would put Jesse Neorito against anybody in professional wrestling, and he'd have a good match. Whether it's a match, if you look on actually YouTube, it's on there. It's Jesse Neorito versus Kenny Omega from RCW in Calgary. They worked 45 minutes, and they fought through the entire building, down a hill, into the Bow River, back up the hill, into a dumpster, off a roof of a garage, just to come back in to have a time limit draw. And it's probably one of the most entertaining matches I've ever seen.
Nice.
And Kenny Omega still talks about it to this day.
I guess, let's talk about the first ever RCW show that you ever promoted.
Oh, that was May 10th, 2003 in Gibbons, Alberta.
Where is Gibbons, Alberta?
Just north of Edmonton here, about 20 minutes north. Small little redneck town.
Okay.
We had a record-breaking crowd of 23 people.
Right on. And what ring did you guys use?
Our old original 12-foot by 12-foot ring.
Oh my god, really?
It was like working on a king size bed.
That's like if you suplex a guy from one corner
into
the other corner, you would hit your legs on the ropes. Like,
let's put it this way, I think that was probably the worst independent wrestling show to ever happen in Canada.
Wow.
The only highlight of that was there was a guy on the show, Matt Gladiator. He passed away in a car accident back in 05.
Oh, I think your dad was telling me about
this. And yeah, and he was actually being looked at by Dory Funk Jr. to go down and trade the Funkin' Dojo. Great farm boy out of Saskatchewan from Biggers. And that was the only highlight of that show.
Yeah.
They named our first ever RCW champion with our replica Gold Eagle belt from WWE. First our champion was Sergeant Derek Steele, who wrestled back in the 80s and late 90s, early 90s.
Was Jasmine even born at this point?
Yeah, Jasmine was... No, actually, Jasmine wasn't born yet. It says May 10th, 03. Jasmine was born in September of... Jasmine was 2 years old, because I was May 10th of 03. She was born in 01.
How about Matthew?
No, Matthew was 2 years later, 05.
Okay.
June of 05 he was born. But no, it was, honestly, it was the worst show. Marky Mark was there, Phoenix Taylor. They ripped the show apart. But I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, because I had my own company, my own ring, I was on my own shows. It was a learning experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, the first 4 years of RCW was...
When was the second show? How much later was it?
July 23rd of 03 in Millard, Alberta.
So the first show was in May and the second one was in July?
Yeah.
So you missed what?
1 month. 1 month to recoup.
And then the second one was in Millard.
Millard, Alberta. Headlined by Main Event, an 8-man tag. Steven Styles, Patrick Myers, Nick Fusion, and Raj Desi, who went on to become Jinder Mahal.
Okay.
Against Matt Gladiator, Sean Courage, Jack Daniels. And it was, again, it was in front of a record-breaking, probably 20 people as well.
Okay, so when does RCW break into Calgary or Edmonton?
We didn't break into Edmonton until our 8th anniversary.
Oh, really?
For the first 8 years, we never ran a big city, nothing. We always stayed small towns. The biggest city we ran in the first 8 years was Red Deer.
Oh,
we used to run Papa Riggs Bar and Grill.
Really?
Yeah.
See, have you ever heard of a federation called XWE?
Yeah, that's CWC now.
Oh, okay. I kind of thought so, because they used to do, like, I went to one show way back in, like, 2005 at the Springbrook Multiplex there. It was XWE.
Yeah.
And they had wooden ring posts on the ring.
Yep.
And I do think... pardon me, I do believe Dylan Stone wrestled in the main event.
Yeah, probably main event against, probably...
It was, like, Eagle something. Something Eagle, or...
Oh, yeah, that's back when CWC was a classic. They had, what did they have there? They had Dylan Stone was there. Sean Martins was Joey Six.
Yeah.
Jack Pride was Jack Pride.
I don't even know if Jack Pride was there.
Oh, he was. I think he started around that time too. They had Stephen Hawks.
I can't remember.
Adrian Kaz, Bipolar.
What the main guy's name was?
That was Sip the Clown was there. I did a show once for them in Boden, Alberta. And their ring was so shitty. They had an 18-foot ring with 20x20 ropes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just was asking because it was just this one. You know, other than RCW or PWA, it's the only other show I've been to in Alberta.
The show I did in Boden, I wrestled a guy named Bipolar. He was a prison chef. I wrestled that show as Tex Gaines.
You wrestled as Tex Gaines?
Yeah, I came out in blue camel pants, boots, and shaved head, and a black t-shirt, and I was Tex Gaines.
And... Did Tex Gaines ever
find out? Oh, I don't think he ever found out. Because no one was there. There was like 8 people. And that was the match before me was the under 18 division.
How angry Hawks would be if I wrestled a match as Andrew Hawks.
Oh, I might make it happen. But the match before me on that show was the under 18 division.
Yeah.
It was 4 8-year-old kids in a match. It was amazing.
They had an under 18 division.
Yeah, it was 4 8-year-old kids.
Oh my God! Really?
They were more talented than half.
Was one of them son of Irish?
Huh?
Was one of them son of Irish?
No.
No.
Son of Irish could actually work. That kid's got a future.
No, but I actually I talked to him, and he's like 14 or 15 years old or something like that.
He's 16.
Oh, okay.
16.
Yeah, but he told me he's been wrestling for like 7 years.
Oh, he's been training. Well, his dad's in St.
Irish.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble or anything.
That kid, the son of Irish, when he comes into himself in the next 5 years, he's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So it's... I get like, you know, like... Alberta's known for under 18 division. It started in MPW back in 03 with Brady Roberts... Bobby Sharp started there.
Wasn't Matt Ratz kind of a...
Matt Ratz was a precursor, but they were more of a MTV dance party good time.
But it was about like teenagers wrestling.
Yeah, well, that's where Harry Smith started. Yeah. Rene Dupree, Ted Hart, Jack Evans, Patrick Myers. You know, they were more, you know, they had money behind them.
Yeah.
You know, Felix Taylor worked there, Markey worked there. But like I said, the first under 18 division was in MPW, which I give massive credit for. And that broke in guys like Bobby Sharp, Brady Roberts, Big Jess, Tom McDonald, Danny Manners, Knight. You know, so it's, there's a long lineage of different ideas in Alberta wrestling, and
yeah,
we just need to keep building it up.
Yeah, for sure. So, like I say, so you were talking earlier about how you didn't go into any big cities for 8 years of RCW's existence, and now here we are, 8 years later, and we're about to be running more shows than any other company.
Yeah,
and we're going to be doing 2 shows every month in each big city in the province.
Yeah, and in the new year, we're looking at I've already got contracts in for Fort McMurray, Grand Prairie, Lloydminster, Bonnyville.
Oh, okay. We're going to go all the way up to Fort McMurray, eh?
We're going to expand.
Wow.
My goal by the end of 2019 is I want to be doing shows in BC, Saskatchewan.
Well, I know we had planned to do the tour with Brian Christopher in Manitoba and whatnot, the one that got called off, just due to, like, logistical reasons or whatnot.
Yeah, that was the guy I was working with for that, TJ Pratt. I said, unlike other companies, I don't just walk into someone's territory and run shows.
Yeah.
You know, I want to build my company up to get there.
Yeah, so if you had, like, somebody in those towns that was like, oh, I'm a promoter here, come and we'll do a show.
Oh, yeah, like, we've done shows in Maple Creek, Saskatchewan. We've done shows in Kyle, Saskatchewan. We've been into BC before. We've done Tumbler Ridge, which is Barricade's hometown.
Oh, really?
You know, I've done shows with Leatherface, Rick Patterson, in small reserve towns in BC. We'll go anywhere as long as it's financially sound for us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's ideally it's...
As long as we're not losing money.
Exactly, but...
Ideally, we're making money, yeah.
Ideally, the way I look at it is, why spread yourself too thin when you got a market here that's so untapped?
Yeah, for sure. Like, if we can make $100 in Edmonton or $100 in Fort McMurray, we're better off to just make $100 in Edmonton.
Well, exactly. Like, the thing is,
money on gas.
I don't believe in the market point to being where I know I'm never going to make the WWE or Japan or Mexico or all that. So I'm happy running RCW, making it a company that grows.
Yeah.
But I run RCW for the boys to get them seen, to get their experience, get them to the next level. So I don't need to go out there and blow my wad on a big ass tour for no reason.
Yeah.
It's business.
For sure.
You know, like, that's the thing. It's like, honestly, going again, like, we have one of the best rosters in Alberta.
100%.
You know, so it's, you just gotta, RCW is doing good. We're at the point where we're on the cusp of getting everything rolling the right thing. You know, we've had TV offers. You know, Kevin Sullivan was just in here. Kevin Sullivan said, we're just missing a few little pieces and we could be on TV.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
You know, like, and like, that's the thing. It's,
did he enlighten you to what those pieces are, or is that
it just, you know, more organization, you know, more organization, you know, production, bring the production up. You know, like, he says we have great stories, we have great characters, good development, just little pieces that have to grow.
Yeah, for sure. I understand where he's coming from.
You know, like, that's the reason why I want to bring Shane Douglas. He's a great mind for the business, you know, and I'm sure he'll have input that will help the company grow in the new year.
Oh, I'm sure he will,
too. You know, like, Abyss. Abyss is one of my good friends, and I've brought him in three times now, and he's coming back again in the new year, you know, and in May he'll be here again. You know, and he's one of the head guys for TNA.
Okay.
You know, we've had Govinder Singh, you know, who's one of the up-and-comers in TNA. He's put us over huge. You know, we've got Tommy Dreamer come through. We have a Mr. Anderson.
Well, you're just going to name names, so let's do let's close off the show with like a little like name association. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll say a name and you just tell me like a little blurb about what you think of them. So okay. let's start with Shane Douglas.
Brilliant.
Okay. Let's go to somebody that might not be somebody you'd think of, but Vince McMahon.
He's the god of professional wrestling.
Have you ever had any interactions with Vince
McMahon? Nope, I haven't. I got to meet him once at Owen Hart's funeral. And actually, I also got to meet him again at Stu's funeral. But he is truly the mad genius of all of professional wrestling.
Okay, what about... let's go with Ted Hart.
Best unsigned talent in the world. He is the mad genius of this generation.
Okie dokie. Vince Austin.
Middle-aged and crazy.
Okay, Andrew Hawks.
Andrew Hawks, wow. Breakout talent.
Okay, Gunnar, the Pagan Destroyer.
Big and clumsy, but has a bright future.
For sure, 100%. How about Zach Mercury?
He's the universe. No, Zach has got a lot of untapped talent that people haven't seen yet.
For sure, he's a smart guy. What about Heavy Metal?
Heavy Metal is the king of politics.
Okay. And our current RCW... Canadian heavyweight champion, Christian Strife.
He could kick your head off without even trying.
Alright, and now, last but not least, what about Thaddeus Archer III?
Thaddeus Archer, on shows, he's my bitter enemy, but behind the scenes, he's my right-hand man. I can't say enough good things about Thaddeus. He's a production genius when it comes to stuff. Him and Barricade blow my mind and stuff they come up with.
Yeah.
So yeah, Thaddeus Archer. On shows I hate him, but behind the scenes...
What is your opinion of, like, the Archer Report?
When it first started, I hated it. Not gonna lie. Because it was all it was drugs and jokes and all that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
2 months, I'm the biggest fan of the Archer Report. I can't wait. As a matter of fact, once I'm done this podcast, I'm going to go watch a new episode.
Yeah, he did. He posted one today.
Yeah, with Bruce Beefcake, so I want to watch it.
Wicked Wild Wild Jess. Wild Jess. You should watch it. It's
pretty
funny.
I will watch it, for sure.
Okay, well, with that said, I want to thank you for being on the podcast. Just give the fans a little rundown what the deals are for the big shows in January, and if what's the big deal for the show coming up on the first here.
Well, December 1st we're in Edmonton, or it's our Christmas.
We actually have a show on the 23rd of November.
23rd of Calgary, yes.
That's the first one, so let's hit that one first.
Well, that's at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1 in downtown Calgary, licensed all ages. Tickets are 20 in advance, 25 at the door. They'll feature Heavy Metal and Big Jess against Matt Hardy and Strife at the tag man event, as well as a Survivor Series style match where it's Team Dylan Knight versus Team Derek Cross with the recent Storm graduates on each side. And again, it's RCW Calgary shows, you never know what to expect.
Yeah, it's
you know,
always
it's the official in-ring return of Scully Crew. You'll be wrestling Jose Swervo, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then after that, we move into Edmonton on the 1st. For our end of the year blowout fan appreciation night, where tickets generals are $10 in advance, ringside $15. Fundraiser for the Edmonton Food Bank, it sounds anonymous. So bring a food bank donation or an unwrapped toy for the Christmas Bureau. And then we move off a week later, we move to Calgary for our last show in Calgary for 2018, Seasons Beatings, which will feature a Seasons Beating Battle Royal.
That's in Calgary. What date?
On December 8th.
December 8th, okay.
And then we close the year out, and then we come back a month later on January 4th in Calgary with Shane Douglas. Tickets for that are already on sale and moving fast. Like honestly, I cannot believe how quick tickets are moving for that show with Shane Douglas. Then the next night, we return back to Edmonton on Saturday the 5th with Shane Douglas again here, and tickets for that show are selling like crazy as well, so... RCW's kicking off, I mean, it's ending 2018 with a bang, and kicking off 2019 with an explosion. So just stay tuned to the podcast, the Backbreaker...
Backbreaker Media Network.
Backbreaker Media Network. Sorry, Mike. Too many headshots. Monday Night Shaw. Stay tuned to the network. Stay tuned to our subreddit on Facebook. Because you never know who's going to show up. You never know what we have planned. You know, and like you said in closing, you know, Edmonton fans, Calgary fans, get ready because 2019 is going to be busy. And pretty much summing it up, the last thing I got to say is, Steve Glasby, you're a piece of shit. Thanks, Kyle.